Douglas Crook, Wednesday, July 21st, 2010.
Let's pick up where we left off in the study of the book of Proverbs. A couple of weeks ago, we began to consider chapter 2 of Proverbs. We'll go back and read this chapter and pick up where we left off. But as we reread this passage, for those that were here a couple of weeks ago, we need to keep in mind that the subject of the book of Proverbs is wisdom, godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from God. It is to know and understand and to be able to apply that knowledge in a way that will be profitable for this life and for eternity. It is to know and understand the will of God. That's true wisdom. And if we want to be successful in this life, if we want to enjoy what this life is all about in preparation for eternity, if we want God's best in eternity, we need to be wise, not foolish, not simple, not mockers of the will of God, but we need to receive the wisdom of God. We've already noticed how that wisdom, God, offers that wisdom that He has for us. He offers it generously to anyone and everyone. God wants us to be wise. But in this chapter 2, we are realizing that for us to be wise, it takes effort on our part as well. Now, when we use words like effort and work in this age of grace, people automatically begin to reject whatever follows after that. But we need to accept God's word for what it says. The context of our effort, the context of our works are always within the context of God's favor that, number one, enlightens us apart from anything we do, that enables us apart from any of our abilities. So we are still talking about the grace of God. But God's grace must be applied. There is a response that is required from, first of all, when we're talking about someone who's being saved, who's not saved yet, but is being given the generous invitation of wisdom to salvation, they have to respond by repenting of their sin, acknowledging they are a sinner, and then receiving the gift of eternal life, accepting what Jesus did on the cross. So there is a response that's required for salvation. God's grace provided everything necessary to respond, but it must be applied. And then as we come to Christians, those that have already been born again, for us to have God's best in this life and in eternity, we must respond to the invitation of wisdom. You can't just sit in your pew or sit at home or anywhere else you want to sit, in the mountains or wherever, and expect God to make you wise. He wants to. He's made the provision. But we must respond as we see in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if, conditional, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Notice all of these verbs that require action on our part. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, now notice the results of doing those things that lead to making you wise. Now we're going to read about the many benefits of being wise in the will and purpose of God. Then, conditional on the verbs, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of righteousness, of uprightness rather, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. In this chapter 2, we see the verbs that we are to use, these responses to the invitation to be wise. We got through, I believe last week was, or 2 weeks ago, was to cry out to God. So now I think we are ready in verse 3 also to look at the command to lift up our voice. If you want to be wise, I'm just going to read as we look at the rest of these verbs, these actions that we need to take to be wise. I'm just going to read some scriptures that have some reference to them with some slight comment. But once again, notice what God requires of you in order to be wise. We need to lift up our voice. This is similar to the cry out that we looked at 2 weeks ago. It literally means to give voice to your desire. Lift up your voice. It means to express what you want to someone. And in this case, we are lifting up our voice to God because we want His wisdom. James chapter 1. In the New Testament gives us a doctrinal statement that agrees with this precept from the book of Proverbs. Lift up your voice. James 1, 5 through 8. If anyone lacks wisdom, now this is in the context of James dealing with trials. You got problems? I think probably every one of us can raise our hand on that one. We all have trials. You want to be wise and do the right thing and the thing that will lead to God's best in the midst of those, this is what you have to do. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Lift up your voice. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach. There's God's generosity. And it will be given to him. The wisdom that you ask will be given to you. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you need wisdom, you need to learn to spend time in prayer, crying out to God. Literally lifting up your voice. Now, clearly, we are not always required to audibly express, but it's a good habit to form. When you communicate with someone else, you use your words, at least if your parents raised you right. You use your words. We need to learn to do the same with our Heavenly Father. and lift up our voice. In the fourth verse of Proverbs 2, and keep your finger there as we flip back and forth, because we'll keep referring to these actions. You want to be wise, you need to learn to seek wisdom. Well, if God's offering us wisdom, why do we need to go look for it? Well, there's a reason. This verb means to seek out someone or something for the purpose of requiring something from them. When it's used in the Old Testament, more often than not, it's used in this context. You're going to seek someone, but it's with a purpose. It's for the purpose you need something from them, you need to do something to them or for them or with them. You're seeking them out for a purpose. Matthew 7, in verses 7 to 11. Clearly, all of these verbs and actions are closely related and associated. Many of them can be synonyms. And yet, we see the emphasis. I don't think it's necessarily repetition, but it is emphasis of how we become wise. Most of God's people will live a life of mediocrity as a Christian because they're too lazy to be wise. It's that simple. But those who truly want to honor God because they love Him who first loved us, they will do these things. Matthew 7, verse 7, seek the Lord. Jesus Himself said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? When we make it a purpose to seek God for the things of life that we need, for instruction, for direction, for careers, for families, for every aspect of our life, the reason we go to Him and seek Him, it is an expression of our faith. We understand there is no other source of wisdom, only the will of God. In verse 4 also, we have the word search. Again, very similar, but this gives a little different shade of meaning. It's not seeking, seeking the purpose of requiring something from someone. But this has to do with searching for that which is of value for the purpose of uncovering it and possessing it. This has the thought of treasure behind it that we had earlier in our study. Very similar to that thought. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. People will spend a lot of money, time, and effort to get an education. And that's good and that's prudent. But that education is simply temporal for this life. The wisdom that we're talking about is not only for this life, it's for eternity. And therefore, it is of far greater value than any other treasure you could search for in this world. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Most of God's people never get beyond accepting Jesus as their Savior. Glorious treasure, glorious gift. The invitation of the gospel is so simple and so clear, it's sitting right on the surface for everyone to see, because that's how God intended it. But as you accept that gift, and as you're born again and you're given a new life, and you're given the very mind of Christ, you now have the capacity, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is only with a child of God, not the unbeliever, but the child of God, you now have the ability to understand the deeper things of God. But most of God's people will never dig any deeper than what they stumble over on the surface. If the preacher tells them about it and it clicks with them, then that's fine. That's good. Praise the Lord for that. But he's got things that are going to make you stable, make you successful in being an ambassador of Christ. But you're going to have to search for it. You're going to have to dig. Why does he make you do that? Because as you dig deeper, number one, it makes you appreciate what God has given you. And it causes you to continue to search deeper and deeper and deeper, because as you go down into the Word of God, you're going to find treasure. And it will thrill your heart, and it will change and transform your life. And as you come across that treasure, then you're going to be inspired to, well, if this is here, what's deeper? And you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the will of God. God chose to conceal some things that are not just sitting on the surface. But for those who will put forth this effort, because they understand the value of God's word, because they understand the value of the purposes of God, they're going to search and God is going to reward them. Proverbs 2 and verse 10, as we finish the actions. In verse 10, we see what will be the motive for all of those actions. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Do you love to study the Word of God? Once again, most of God's people, it is something that is almost repulsive to them to hear a lesson directly from the Word of God. Now, if you can dress it up, if you can make it entertaining, and when I say that, we often use the word entertaining. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. And those who give out the Word of God should do everything in their ability to try to keep all obstacles and hindrances from the word being received and to making it plain. I have that responsibility. And hopefully sometimes it might be entertaining. But if it never goes any further than that, it does you absolutely no eternal good. We need to search, to seek, to treasure, to receive, to apply all of these truths, because we understand that it's pleasant to the soul. It gives life. When you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when you hear a sermon or a lesson preached or taught, it should be with a desire to hear more and to understand more, and not only to gain more, but to continue to rejoice in what God's already revealed to you, and to understand how important it is to share with someone else, because the knowledge and wisdom of God is pleasant. It's not a labor. It's not something that is to be despised. So these actions that we read here, receive, treasure, incline, apply, cry out, lift up your voice, seek, search. If you're not doing those things on a regular, continual basis, then don't cry out to God and complain because things aren't working out for you. Until you respond in faith and obedience and dependence on the grace of God, you'll never be wise. You'll never know what this life is really for, and you'll never be prepared for God's best in eternity. Now, if we will do these things, we have some promises here. We have some results, some blessings and some protections that are promised here. I'll read them to you in the list, and then as we have time, we will consider some of them. In verse 5, it says, "You will understand the fear of the Lord." That's a blessing of being wise. You will understand what it means to fear the Lord. Verse 5 also, "You will find the knowledge of God." Now remember, this is only conditional on receiving, treasuring, inclining, applying, crying out, lifting up your voice, seeking and searching. Only if you do those things will you find these results. Verse 6, "The Lord gives wisdom. It comes from His mouth." In other words, His mouth is the source of wisdom. Verse 7, "He will store up wisdom for you." The benefits of wisdom aren't just for this life. Verse 7 also, "He will be a shield to you." Verse 8, "He guards the path. He preserves the way." Again, many of these are companion thoughts, but again, the emphasis. Verse 9, "You will understand what righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path is." Not only will you understand them, you will benefit from them. Verse 11, "You will be preserved." Also verse 11, "kept." Verse 12, "Deliver from the evil one. And all of those who follow that path, you will be delivered from the perverse man who leaves the path of uprightness and walks in darkness. You need to understand, when you choose to be wise and submit yourself to the wisdom of God, those who do not, they will contend with you. They will seek to hurt you. They will seek to disturb your walk in the Lord. And that's why we have such a description of the perverse man and his ways. They've made a choice, and they've gone a certain way with certain results. But if you will do these things, I will keep you from that perverseness and its destruction. That's the thought. Delivered from the immoral woman. We'll find that this is both literal and spiritual. So let's begin with verse 5. If you will do take the actions necessary to be wise, you will understand the fear of the Lord. The understanding of the fear of the Lord is a very precious and needed blessing for Christians. As we go through the book of Proverbs, all through it, we will see direct connections. How can we put this? You will find direct blessings connected with those who fear the Lord. And there are many of them. It could be a whole study in itself. We'll just notice them as we go through. But at this point, I just want us to know that this is a blessing to understand the fear of the Lord, because when you fear the Lord, it leads to so many wonderful blessings. So it's good to know and understand the fear of the Lord. Many of God's people love the Lord in a measure. If they're saved, most of them will be appreciative that they're not going to hell and that they're going to heaven, and rightfully so. They should be thankful for the grace of God that saves us eternally. But sadly, relatively few Christians really understand what it means to live their life in the fear of the Lord. And I'm talking about Christians. You know, there's no way that the world, the unsaved person, can even know what the fear of the Lord is. When you reject Jesus as the Christ, there is no fear of the Lord. But the child of God is to be characterized by the fear of the Lord, and very few people even know what it means. They don't know what the technical definition is, and they certainly don't know what the practical application is. But if we will do the things that we've been studying here, receive, incline, all of those things, we're going to know what the fear of the Lord is, and then we're going to benefit from that. It will lead to finding the knowledge of God. Matthew 11. I probably made some assumptions. I better go back and correct here. So what is the fear of the Lord? I made the assumption you knew what it was, and maybe I shouldn't make that assumption. To fear the Lord is to stand in awe of who He is. It's a reverential fear, not terror, but it is to stand in awe of God, and it is an intense, passionate desire to always please Him, because you know who He is and you know what He's done for you. And with that intense desire to always please Him, there is that opposite reaffirming thought of never wanting to displease Him. Now that, you know, it's a positive and negative saying the same thing, I understand. But once again, the emphasis, is that how you look at the will of God? With everything of your life, every decision you make, do you fear the Lord with that decision? Do you have that intense desire, God, in this situation, at work, at home, in this relationship, in this circumstance, I don't want to displease You. Because You're God. You're my Father. You gave me Your Son. You gave me life. I want to please You in this decision. If you will do the things that we talked about here, and if you apply them, and we'll find out the emphasis here concerning the Word of God, where the will of God is revealed. If you want to know how to please the Lord, you need to know what pleases Him. You know where you find it? There's only one place. It's the Bible. So that's the fear of the Lord. You find out what the will of God is, and then you do it. Most of God's people, it never even enters their head to ask the Lord what His will is on a decision, on a direction for their life. They just do it. They use their own reason, their own logic, their own desire, and it's not done in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't lead to these wonderful blessings. Matthew 11, verse 27, it will lead to finding the knowledge of God. Jesus said, "All things have been delivered to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no one will ever come to know God and His purposes. But as a child of God, apart from understanding the whole counsel of God, as revealed to the Apostle Paul, no Christian can fully know or experience the depth of the love of God. No Christian can fully understand the purpose of God for His children, for His church, for His body, for the body of Christ. No one can fully understand that apart from receiving Paul's gospel, inclining, searching, seeking, applying, all of those things. But if you'll do that, it will lead to a real knowledge of God and His purposes. Wisdom comes from the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. So again, we have it plainly stated for us. What exactly are we to receive? Search, apply, incline. The Word of God. The Bible. The revealed will of God. If you ignore the Bible, you are ignoring God. If you ignore the Word of God, you will be ignorant, you will be simple, you will be foolish, and you will experience the ruin and destruction of foolishness. But if you will do these things, you will be wise. 2 Timothy 3:16, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-inspired. It is breathed by God. It comes from His mouth. Wisdom comes from the mouth of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to be complete and full? You want to be everything God wants you to be? Know your Bible. Apply it. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, He stores up wisdom for us. That wisdom is first and foremost stored up in Jesus Christ. The more you understand about Jesus and what He did for you on the cross, the more treasures you're going to have, you're going to benefit from. If all you know is that Jesus died to save you from your sins, you know a glorious amount of, you have a glorious amount of wealth already. But that's just the surface. Jesus came not only to save us from hell, but to prepare for Himself a bride, an eternal companion, to rule and reign with Him for eternity. And the more you understand who Jesus is and what He's done for you and what He's prepared for you, the richer you will be. Verse 2 of Colossians 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. It sounds a lot like Proverbs. Both of the Father and of Christ, in whom, referring to Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 7 of Proverbs 2 speaks of the benefit of a shield. If you'll pay attention to God's word and apply it to your life, it will be a shield to you. Psalm 119 and verse 114. Psalm 119 and verse 114. Saints, we can be shielded from so many dangers in life. One of the things that is the most disheartening for me as a pastor is to deal with so many Christians whose lives have suffered unnecessary ruin and danger because they ignored the will of God. And for the most part, it's not that they didn't know the will of God. They chose to ignore it, thinking that, oh, I can get away with it. I don't think it'll be that bad. And it looks pretty good. And there are many degrees that you can apply that mentality. But saints, if you will just by faith take God at His word that He knows what He's talking about, it will shield you from those dangers. Psalm 119 verse 114, You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope, I trust in Your word. Do you trust God's word? We're going to stop there tonight so we don't try to rush through the rest of these. But that's a good place to start. Is God, I don't fully understand Your word all the time, but I trust it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to incline my ear. I'm going to treasure it, and I'm going to apply it to my life. Let's stand.